This is episode 113 of Extraordinary Women Radio. Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gilner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. I'm recording this interview and this intro today as I have a bright and early flight tomorrow morning to head to Florida, where I'll be speaking at the Orlando eWomen Network chapter meeting on how to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business. And the fun part about this trip is that I'm actually flying into Tampa to spend several days with my BFF beachside and catching up on life together. I can't wait to dig my toes into the sand with her. Good times for sure. And then I'm back for a few days and then head to Dallas for the annual eWomen Network Conference at the end of the month. As one of the eWomen's 17 designated premier success coaches across the nation, I have a new role at the conference this year. I have a full schedule of back-to-back coaching, and I'm so excited about all the extraordinary women I'm going to meet. It's an opportunity to pour some love into these women and their businesses, and I'm honored to have been selected. And of course, as I had all this travel lined up, my hubby's travel schedule picked up as well. So we had to do a bit of balancing to get the horses and the dogs and the cat and tomato plants and flowers all taken care of. But this crazy schedule is all mapped out, and all I need to do is pack tonight. I'm ready. Today's Extraordinary Women Radio interview is with Jessica Rhodes, and it's a good one. It's all about my favorite topic, podcasting. Jessica is the founder and co-owner of Interview Connections, the first and leading podcast booking agency. She has scaled the business quickly to high multiple six figures with nearly no direct marketing or ads and will break through the seven-figure mark in 2019. We talk about what it takes to grow a business to seven figures, and Jessica shares so much wisdom. And then we get into the world of her expertise, podcasting. The Interview Connections team of booking agents are the podcast powerhouses behind many of the record-breaking book launches you've seen today, with clients such as Allie Brown, J.J. Virgin, Perry Marshall, and many other authors you may know and numerous PR agencies. Their clients hire them for their podcasting savvy and booking skills. Jessica started podcasting in 2014 with the launch of Rock the Podcast and also has co-hosted several other shows, including The Podcast Producers and Womansplaining. She is the acclaimed author of Interview Connections, How to Rock the Podcast from Both Sides of the Mic, and has been a featured speaker at Podcast Movement, PodFest Multimedia Expo, and Dream Business Academy. Let me introduce you to the fabulous Jessica Rhodes of Interview Connections. Well, welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Jessica. I am thrilled to have you join us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Cami.
Oh, you bet. And I am excited to talk about a topic that I am passionate about, and I know you are passionate about it, podcasting. Isn't it? It's podcasting, and it's just so much fun.
I love it. It's just such a great way to connect with people and to, just educate people on what you do and share your message. So I'm really excited to talk more about it today.
Yeah, and I want to hear more about your business and all that you've done in this world. So I know you started initially as having your own podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us when you started podcasting and what was the prompter for you?
So I started in podcasting as a behind the scenes person. So okay. I started my business as first a virtual assistant in mm-hmm. 2013 when I was a new mom and I had a new baby and I wanted to be home. So I started a business, and one of the things I was doing for my clients was booking them for interviews on podcasts. And so I started growing my business, which became Interview Connections, for the first year or so before I ever launched my own podcast. So it was kind of a little bit backwards, I guess, because I started podcasting after I had already been booking interviews and working with a lot of podcasters. I even spoke at Podcast Movement before I had my own podcast.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I got a lot of experience on behind the scenes stuff before I actually started my own show. And my podcast, which is now called Rock the Podcast, it's been through a couple rebrands over the last 4 or 5 years. I started that in 2014.
Nice, nice. I tuned into it this morning and was, as I was driving around and was listening to it, some great episodes there. And I love that it's, you know, something I'm totally going to start, go back to and listen to more because the, you know, it's about doing podcasting and really being successful with your podcast. So
yeah, we have, there's a lot of podcasts about podcasting and they all have a different kind of focus, like Dave Jackson's School of Podcasting show is amazing. Daniel J. Lewis has, I think it's called Audacity to Podcast or the Audacity of Podcasting. I can't remember the exact title, but they all have sort of a different style. And our show really focuses on podcasting from the interview perspective. And we talk a lot about how to leverage podcast interviews as a guest. So we kind of really, really niche down.
I like it. I totally like it. So what gave you the idea to start a podcast booking company? There wasn't any companies like that around, right?
There were not. There were no other podcast booking agencies. Really, I have to credit my dad for the idea. He was my first client. He's an entrepreneur and a business coach. And when I was pregnant with my first child and wanted to be home, he recommended that I start a business as a virtual assistant and that he would be my first client. Mm-hmm. And he really, you know, he was my first business coach. His coaching helped grow Interview Connections to $500,000 in revenue. And it was really his idea because he wanted to get interviewed on more shows. And he said, right, you would be good at that because I have a background in door-to-door fundraising. So he knew that my sales background would be perfect for reaching out to podcast hosts and making that pitch. He had already had his own show and he had been getting interviewed. And he thought, you know, he said, this is a great strategy because I could be speaking without leaving my home. I can be reaching people without having to get on a plane and go to a conference. So he just basically asked me to take that over. And as I was booking him for interviews, I took on, you know, a couple other clients and I realized like, this is really fun. People love it. People are seeing great results. I think this could actually be a real business.
And it was the perfect timing, just as podcasting was really, you know, taking off on fire.
It was the perfect timing. And it's so funny that you say fire because my partnership with John Lee Dumas of Entrepreneurs on Fire was really instrumental in having Interview Connections take off early on because he had started Entrepreneurs on Fire the year within 6 to 9 months before I got started. So he was growing his show. And I remember pitching my dad to him as a guest expert for EO Fire. And, you know, John said, yeah, I'd love to have him on the show. And I'd love to be on his podcast too. So they did a podcast swap right there. And I didn't know who he was. He wasn't like who he is today. He's really well known today, but he was just really growing his show at that time. So I made that connection. I did that. You know, I got my dad booked on his show. I booked him on my dad's show. And then as I was growing Interview Connections, I reached back out to him and he was launching Podcasters Paradise, which is their membership to teach people about podcasting.
Okay.
And so we basically just struck up a handshake deal where I would offer his members a discount on my service in exchange for him listing me as a resource on his website. So we got a lot of exposure that way.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so awesome. Just those connections that happen as you're moving. Connections are everything, right? As you're growing your business and that kind of collaboration, because you could have looked at each other and gone, oh, we do something similar, but no, it was like, no, we do something different and unique and let's leverage that.
Yeah, it's all about like finding referral partners and finding people who have the same target audience, but do slightly different things and seeing how to partner. And I remember just getting on the phone with Kate, his partner, and just saying like, hey, here are my ideas. I don't know, like, I really wasn't in a position to be giving like a referral commission at that point. And honestly, they were making a lot more money than I was. And they were like, we are happy to just like do this and, you know, list you on our website because we know you do great work. So it was great. And I think that's just, it's such an important lesson for entrepreneurs that are growing is just to reach out, build a relationship. I remember doing things like designing infographics for them. I was doing some social media marketing for clients at the time. So I remember just doing stuff for them just as a gift and just as a way to give value to them.
I like that.
Need a request to like, hey, can you please list me as a resource? I was doing as much as I could to provide value to them before I asked them to help promote my new business.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And such wise steps that you were taking, just reaching out and looking to see how you could be useful and helpful, and that look where that took you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so then at some point you brought in another business partner, Margie Feldhoon, right?
Yeah, Margie Feldhoon. So she's my business partner. Margie and I go way back. So I know Margie from my days in nonprofit. Years before I started my business, I was a Canvas director for a nonprofit organization, and Margie was one of the employees that I hired at that job.
Okay.
She worked there for 6 months after she graduated from college. And then we went our separate ways. I left that job. I got married, had a kid. She traveled around the world. She did a lot of travel. And we reconnected a few years later. Actually, when her dad passed away, I adopted his cat. And that's how we reconnected. A few months after that, she became one of our guest bookers. She became a contractor for Interview Connections. And then she became our first employee. And then a year after that, became co-owner. So
that's like awesome.
That's the nutshell version.
And fun that you have that journey behind you. Because I mean, taking on a partner can be, you know, that's a big step.
Yes, it is. I have two partners in life, my husband and Margie. it's a really big step. And like, I think, you know, for anyone who's thinking about having a business partner or who has one, I mean, we became business partners January of 2018 and immediately went into and completed the Landmark Curriculum for Living, which was a 9-month.
Oh, interesting.
It was basically like 9 months of intense like personal development.
Yes.
We did it all together. So we worked really hard on personal growth and development, our relationship, our communication. And that was just instrumental in us working well together and really being on the same page in all areas of the business.
And what did you learn through that time together going through the Landmark teachings? Well,
it's so hard to like kind of put it into concise words, but I think going through it together, we really learned how to communicate and really learn that. I mean, one of the biggest lessons that comes to mind is that what you're upset about is not really what you're upset about. Like it's something that is making you upset right now is probably triggering something from your past. And that's what Landmark is all about. It's like getting complete with your past. And so by going through it together and learning that education and that way of thinking about things and communicating, you know, if one of us is like upset about something or we're frustrated or something like that, we know we have this shared language to say to the other person, like, what's really going on here? Like, what is this? You know, what are you actually like worried about? Or, you know, kind of getting past the surface level, like frustration of something. And not to say like it's all about like upsets and frustrations, but when you're growing a business fast,
oh, absolutely.
Oh my gosh, like it's, you're constantly just like having breakdowns and then breakthroughs and having a breakdown and having a breakthrough and like, it's really nice to have someone that you can share that journey with.
And isn't that true? I mean, it's like being an entrepreneur, that is such a very normal pattern. And I always tell this to my clients, right? It's like, there's never this straight road and it's messy and it's, you know, this whole growing your company. And I like the way you describe it with the, you know, the breakdown, the breakthrough and that pattern. What have you learned as far as maneuvering through the breakdown and the breakthroughs has worked best for you?
Well, I think just knowing that when you're in a breakdown, it's an opportunity for breakthrough, just like knowing that and believing in that process is mm-hmm. really important. Actually, one of the seminars that we took at Landmark was I forget the exact title of seminar, but the seminar leader, she would always say like, it's so exciting when you're having a breakdown because that means there's a breakthrough coming. So like, if we're, you know, like stuck on something or we're like, oh my gosh, like racking our brains, like trying to figure something out. We're like, you know, we're in a breakdown right now, but like we are just so close to a breakthrough. And like, we're really like in that right now. We're just having breakthroughs and we're figuring stuff out and it's exciting. And it's good to, you know, have each other to, we joke about, well, we laugh about how we often like take turns of like, if one person's like, you know, having a little bit down or something, or they're having a breakdown, the other person's usually the one that's like, oh, it's okay. We got this. We got this. And we usually take turns. So we like that we're never both
at the same time. And doesn't the universe deliver that in the perfect way? It's like, okay, it's your turn. Really, it's her turn.
The universe really has our back there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you guys are about to break the seven-figure mark in 2019.
Yes.
Congratulations. Yeah. What an accomplishment, right? I mean, that is such a huge deal. There are so few entrepreneurs that make it to that space. So that, congratulations for that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it has been a goal of ours for a long time. We did just over $800,000 in revenue in 2018, and we are on pace to break seven figures in 2019. So we know we're going to do it, and it's really exciting, and it's been a lot of hard work.
Yeah. So what's been the, I mean, tell us the growth trajectory that you've taken. I mean, what's, has it been, you hit the 800,000 last year. Give us that arcway that you've been on.
Yeah. So we've learned that in our business growth, there are phases and periods where you're growing really aggressively and really mm-hmm. fast, mm-hmm. like making tons of sales and like selling bigger packages and the revenue is just exploding. And then there's periods where obviously you want to like maintain your speed and your growth. You don't want to slow down. But then there's periods where you have to kind of focus a little bit less on like marketing, for example, and more on refining systems.
Right.
So I know a lot of people like choose a word for the year or like a mantra for the year. So, you know, for us, 2019 is all about refining. 2018 was, I think our phrase was like, do it 2018 or something. Cause we were just like taking action and going big and like, you know, we're doing it. We just got saying like, do it in 2018. And then 2019, we're just refined 2019. We're just refining systems, like really going through our business with a fine-tuned comb and looking at where can we refine, where can we save 5 minutes of time? Because 5 minutes of time across 8 employees, like it's a lot of time that can be saved, and looking at like what your biggest expenses are. We're working a lot on like being more profitable. So just refining our systems so that as we grow, you know, we want to get to $10 million. So
awesome.
We're like refining our system so we can scale even faster than we have in the first 5 years.
Yeah. And that's so important, is finding that ability to be able to take it to that next level. You have to be able to look at those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the most important thing that you did that took you into seven figures?
Oh, well, I think it's a couple things. You know, we already talked about like the personal development work that we did. That was so important.
Isn't that true? I so agree. I mean, it's being an entrepreneur, our personal work is just as equally as important as our professional development.
100%. I mean, I went into the Landmark Forum, like wanting to work on my money mindset and like really having like business at the forefront. It's a personal journey. Like you're calling your parents and you're working through personal stuff. And a client actually told us about Landmark, and she says, yeah, you know, you can't grow in your business until you're complete in your personal life, which is so true. If you've got crap going on at home, you cannot be effective at work. So that's really big. Also, being the dumbest person in the room was really important. So we joined Allie Brown's Premier Group.
Good for you.
Thank you. We wanted to be in a mastermind group of people who were going to like just push us. And so we really had a goal to be, you know, we wanted to be masterminding and coaching with women, and we wanted to be with women who were operating at a really high level. Mm-hmm. You know, when I started Interview Connections, like I said, I was a new mom. I wasn't thinking about growing a seven-figure business when I started.
I love that.
Like that wasn't at all in my mind. I didn't think I would hire employees one day. But as I grew and as the business evolved, I realized, you know, a lot of the good friends that I made early on are, you know, they're lifestyle entrepreneurs. And, you know, what I mean by that is just not trying to scale a multiple seven-figure business with employees and big teams, but like have enough to be comfortable and like travel and stuff like that. And so I had to kind of, in 2018-ish, we had to make a shift with the communities that we were kind of hanging out in.
Mm-hmm.
And really focus on being around people that were operating at the level that we wanted to get to. So
that's,
I would say that is the
advice.
Most important.
Yeah.
So working with Allie and being in her community, you know, going to her event Iconic, which I highly recommend, and being in Premier Group has really pushed us and has got us thinking at a bigger level than we ever thought possible.
That's awesome. I always listen to her podcast, and the Iconic always speaks to me. And it's like 3 days before my event this year. I'm like, one of these days I'm going to be there. So well, hopefully we'll get to meet each other face to face there one of these days.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk some more about podcasting. This, mm-hmm. You and I know that podcasting is just growing like crazy. It's, you know, there's so much going on. Why is podcasting the tool right now for so many people?
So I think it is such an important tool and a really popular tool right now because it's a tool that allows people to really get to know you, mm-hmm. and to hear your story. I mean, just looking at how people consume this content, they are typically not at their computer when they're listening. I know for me, I listen to podcasts in the car.
Me too.
I listen to podcasts when I'm doing laundry, when I mm-hmm. am doing dishes, you know, when I am working out, whatever. So people are consuming this content when they are focused on it, when they're maybe doing something physical or something like around the house, but they're not sitting there working and doing other things. So because of that, they're able to consume this content over 30, 45, 60 minutes, which is so much longer than someone would spend reading a blog post or even
Absolutely.
Watching like a 5 or 10 minute YouTube video.
They really get to know you then, don't they?
Yeah, 100%. They hear your whole story. And then also when you're interviewed on a podcast, you are now associated with a host who they most likely know, like, and trust. I know for me, like if I am, you know, my favorite podcast is called Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard. He interviews like actors and celebrities. And when he brings on a guest I've never heard of, and he talks all about why he loves them, I'm like, cool, love them too, because you love them. So that's really big.
A lot of trust associated with that then.
Yeah.
You've built that. Well, you've just followed him long enough to know that the people that he's putting on there are worth listening to.
Right. And, you know, like your subscribers who have listened to every episode of your show, who maybe they don't know who I am, because you brought me on the show, they are more likely to want to listen to this episode than if it was me and someone they've never, you know, if it was two people they've never heard of. So by being interviewed, you are, it's like, you know, when you go to a party with a friend and the friend knows everyone, she can then go and introduce you to everyone. And it's like, you've just got that warm intro
yes.
to that group. And I think yes. that's a big reason why people are finding success with it.
So agree. So what types of entrepreneurs should be leveraging podcasts as part of their marketing strategy?
So definitely service-based businesses.
Mm-hmm.
That is really the kind of business that I see leveraging podcasts most successfully. So business coaches, consultants, agency owners, things like that. So those type of businesses, it works really well because the average value of a client for those kinds of businesses tends to be pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
So when you convert just one listener from a podcast, it's really valuable. And you know, I had an interview go live yesterday on another show and I got one lead from it. And like, that's success. Like, that is good to
that's
have
absolutely.
You know, one person reach out. It's not typically, you're not typically getting like dozens of people from one show. Sometimes you do, but it's really about converting like the right people. And that works really well for service businesses. I have not found that it works as well for retail, like product-based businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're selling a product that's like $10 or $20, you have to convert like
a lot. Right.
Of listeners. Yeah. So.
Right. Right. That makes a lot of sense. And if somebody's listening, and so many of my clients are at this space where they're ready to, they've got ideas of what their podcast can be. What's first steps that you advise your clients on?
Yeah. So for starting your own show and hosting your own show?
Yes.
Yeah. So I would first start by like really kind of mapping out what are your goals for your podcast? Like, what do you want to happen as a result of your show? And if I could offer a little piece of advice there, make sure the goal is to enjoy producing it.
Totally. That's agree. Really, it's a lot of work, right?
It's a lot of work. And, you know, Allie Brown told us, you know, when she wanted to start Glam Ambition Radio, she just like her team was like, okay, well, what's the funnel and what's the call to action? And she goes, I'm starting a podcast because I'm starting a podcast. Like she just wanted to have that creative outlet. And of course, you know, you can have goals of like, you want to generate leads and like build your audience and stuff like that. But all those goals will not keep you going. It's actually enjoying the process that is going to keep you producing this show because it does take a long time. So really know what your goals are and make sure you're in it because you really want to produce creative marketing content. So that's number one. And then I would get really clear about who you are speaking to. Who's your target audience? Because when you create like the title of the show and the artwork and figure out what kind of episode topics you want to do, all that stuff, it all is this going to resonate with the target audience that I've defined for my show?
Mm-hmm.
So that's really important. And then honestly, the next step after that, you've kind of like mapped all that out, is get connected with a producer
because yes.
Figuring out the tech is a headache. I remember when I started my podcast, I was going to edit it myself and I recorded an episode and I opened up GarageBand and I was like,
oh my God.
you know, I called up my friend. I was like, okay.
I mean, you think about what we spend just doing, producing our podcast from the, you know, being the voice and having, doing the interviews and having those conversations with our guests. That takes a lot of time. If you add on that production side of it, on top of it, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, you definitely want to leverage. And I think that's important. Like, honestly, you can hire freelance podcast producers for pretty cheap. Sometimes you get what you pay for if you have to find like the diamond in the rough, if you're going to pay like $10 an episode, but there's also production companies that, are a little bit more expensive, but they do a really good job. They've got backgrounds in radio and can really make your show sound amazing. So you just kind of have to figure out, how much you want to invest and what quality you want the show to be.
Yeah, I've had really good luck even with just some overseas teams. So that's worked really well for me.
And, yeah, find vendors off of referral because I'm telling you, as the podcast industry has grown, the number of service providers for podcasters is like, I can't even count it. It's like there are probably thousands at this point of people who will serve you. And so that can be a little overwhelming. The industry's gotten kind of commoditized in that way. So like, asking some friends who have a show, like, hey, who do you use? Do they do a good job? And can you introduce me?
Yeah. So a question I have for you, for those of us who do have podcasts, what's the best tactics for and strategies for growing your downloads, growing your listenership?
Great question, because that is like the $1 million question.
Absolutely. <Yeah. laughs> That's what I'm like, I need to ask this question.
Yeah. So, I mean, a couple things. So your guests are the best people to share your show, your guests and your listeners. Mm-hmm. So that is number one, having a good communication, you know, good communication with your guests. So you are top of mind with them. And I will say, Cami, you've done an amazing job at that. Like, you're reminding me about the episode. You're sending me like, you know, the questions ahead of time. So I'm like remembering this interview. I'm looking forward to it. So like having communication with hosts well before and after the interview is really key. Making sure they know when the interview is going live, tagging them. Oftentimes for guests, it's easier just to share posts that the host has already done, rather than like create a post on their own. So making sure you're always tagging guests and making sure you're connected with them on social media so they are seeing your posts. Mm-hmm. So anything you can do to really forge a better relationship with your guests so it's easier for them to be sharing is really good. Really looking up good hashtags, and figuring
out like, good
where your target audience is hanging out, whether it's Instagram or LinkedIn or Facebook, and just leveraging hashtags, to reach the kinds of people that are going to be, listening to your show. And then also promoting your content, promoting episodes after they go live. Cause I think for a lot of podcasters, we get in this, strategy of, you know, when an episode goes live, we share it and then we're not sharing our old episodes. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure you're in the habit of sharing old episodes and then sharing episodes directly with people who you think would find value. Because like we think a lot about how, like, how can I share this to more people? But we forget that marketing is most effective when it's one-to-one. It's not as scalable when it's one-to-one, but it is the most effective. So, you know, when I'm talking to a potential client or when I'm just talking to just a friend or something, hey, I've got a podcast episode, I'll send you the link. Yes. And like literally share it one-to-one, because if they listen, they get value, they're probably going to tell someone else about it. So really deepening your connection and your relationship with your listeners, really acquiring them one by one, that's what can help deepen your connection with them, which is going to make them listen longer. And I will tell you, this is this next thing, and then I'll pause.
Okay.
I have been putting out fewer episodes and my downloads per episode is going up.
Oh, interesting.
So I think it is worth playing around with how many episodes you put out each month. Some people say put out daily, three times a week, more, you'll get more downloads. I'm honestly down to putting out an episode every 4 to 6 weeks because I'm super busy. Mm-hmm. And I look at my stats and I'm getting more and more downloads because people are going to find my show and then they're going back and listening, you know, to the archives.
That's very fascinating. That's really fascinating. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I typically would have told people like put out less episodes. I'm just telling you what I'm observing from my show.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, The one other thing that I'll toss in there that's worked really well for me has been partnerships. And so for example, I partner with the Colorado Women's Hall of Fame, and when they have a class of new inductees coming in, I get to interview their inductees, or I get to go pick some of the people who have been inducted before. So those have been really nice high profile guests. Like for example, I've gone to interview an astronaut. I've got to interview a federal judge. You know, so there's times where that kind of a relationship is really powerful. I also partner with Sounds True, which is a publishing company.
I love Sounds True. Yeah.
Yeah. And they've sent me some amazing guests recently. So that's been really fun. And you've sent me a couple of guests. So I think that kind of relationship, like partnerships like that are so amazing to be able to keep really amazing people coming down our pipeline. And again, you know, being able to have them sharing with their communities. I know right now the one that's trending really high for me is Lissa Rankin. That is just going crazy, but she's got a huge followership. So, you know, I think that's really helpful when that happens, when you can land those kinds of interviews.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's great.
Well, cool. So some of our listeners are working on upcoming launches. You know, they might have new programs, a new book. So let's kind of do it. Let's look on the flip side of this.
Yeah.
You know, as far as that people wanting to be on podcast, can you tell us a little bit more about how do people get onto podcasts? What's the timeline they should be considering if they're in the midst of a launch and that sort of thing?
Yeah. So when we work with clients, and I recommend this, whether you work with our agency or not, we go through first kind of an initial discovery process. So you get really clear and you kind of map out the strategy of where you're going to go. And it's like, I literally just thought of this analogy just now, but it's like, if you're going on a hike, you kind of want to know where you're going. So you
must. Right.
And that's kind of how it is. Like you want to really map it out. You want to know, okay, what kinds of listeners do I want to be speaking to? What kinds of shows would they be listening to? Like really getting clear on the demographics of your target market. What are their interests? What are their pain points? Who are the referral partners that would be valuable for me to connect with? And what kinds of shows are they hosting? What kinds of shows are they listening to? So really mapping that out, writing your bio. This is something that we often forget about every couple of years, but going back to your bio, making sure it's well-written, it's in third person, and it's positioning you well. The littlest tweaks can really position you as a more successful entrepreneur or however you are working to position yourself. Writing your interview topics and questions. So this is also really key. Maybe you're not actively pitching shows, but you want to kind of throw your hat in the ring when somebody posts and says, oh, hey, I'm looking for guests for my show. When you have interview topics and questions prepared and you have a one sheet prepared, it makes it a lot easier to get interviews booked as the opportunities come to you.
Absolutely.
So Yeah, having a one sheet. And then when you're finding and pitching shows, really writing a pitch so you communicate what value you have to offer their target audience, and doing enough research so you can reasonably personalize the pitch and it doesn't sound like a script that you're sending to every single show.
Mm-hmm. There's a company that keeps sending me pitches, and I've actually said to them, you know, I interview women. And just today I got another pitch for, it's just what this podcast is about, right? Yeah. And they're not listening. So that pitch, I think, is really, that personalized pitch is so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I often asking hosts like, hey, what kinds of guests are you looking for? Is it okay if I send over some suggestions? Because then you're allowing them to tell you, which is just going to make it so much easier to actually get a booking out of that.
Oh, absolutely. And so what's the timeline if somebody's got this launch out, you know, in their plan of their year? What's the timeline that they should be considering building a podcasting plan?
Yeah. So I was talking to someone today who's launching a book in March of 2020. And I told her, start working with us, start getting interviewed 6 to 9 months prior. And she's like, what? I was like, yeah. So here's the thing. Podcasters will often, number one, they'll sometimes the next available recording is a couple months out, mm-hmm. and then they release it a couple months after that. It is just, she's like, really? I'm like, yeah, it's just the way it is. And so you want, if you are using podcast interviews to support a launch in your business, you want to be starting your podcast interviews with plenty of time, because if you record an interview in July, for example, and you'd love it for it to go live in October, and they say, well, I'm watching this in September, it's easy for them to just hang on to it for another month. But if you want them to launch it the following week, that's asking them to rearrange all their schedule to accommodate you. So you want to be getting interviewed with plenty of time in order to make a simple request, like, hey, can you hang on to this interview until my launch?
Yes, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. And what about our listeners who are really wanting to increase their revenue and generate more leads? Can they use podcasting for that?
Oh, yes. This is where getting on the right shows is really important. So when I get interviewed on shows, I like to be really strategic about who the host is, who the listeners are, and how being on certain shows position me. So that is definitely what I recommend if you want to use podcast interviews to generate revenue and generate leads, is going on shows where a couple of things. The host is a good connection for you. They're a quality they're a quality connection. There's someone that you see value in having a relationship with. Maybe they're a potential client of yours. Maybe they work with people that they could refer to you. That is really big, because a big pitfall a lot of entrepreneurs have when they guest on podcasts is they think, I need to be on shows with 5,000 downloads per episode. I need to be on shows with more than 100 reviews, like all this stuff. But what they're overlooking is the fact that they're most likely to get a return on their investment if the host, does business with them or refers business to them. So really looking at like, who's the host of the show, and is that someone that I want to connect with? That's what I would definitely recommend if you want to use this strategy for generating revenue and leads.
That's awesome. Good advice. So tell us about the work that you do for your clients. I know you and I have talked about it, but I'd love for our audience to hear more about it.
Yeah. So we basically, we book our clients on the right podcast for them. So we first take them through a discovery process where our in-house staff of booking agents get to know them, get to know their business, learn about their target audience. If they've been on podcasts before, we ask them what shows they've been on before. If they've seen results from different podcasts, we ask them about those results and what kinds of shows they had success with. So we really get to know our clients so we can effectively position them and pitch them to podcasts. We create their one sheet for them. So we really like lay the groundwork for a successful podcast tour. And then we actually do the work of pitching the shows and getting them booked. And then we connect them with hosts to schedule an interview. So we really just simplify and put their podcast interviews on autopilot.
Oh, that's awesome. And I think that you do that hard work to know who are the right matches together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because it's hard to tell that from you know, from just, you know, looking at the different, all the opportunities that are out there, mm-hmm. having somebody that can actually match you is really such a benefit.
Absolutely. And because we have so much experience in booking podcast interviews, we have so many clients who have seen great results. We can see and we have the intel to know, hey, this kind of show is going to be a really good fit. It might not have as many reviews as you think you need, but this host became a client of this other client. So we know that there's engagement there. So we have intel about what shows produce results that, you know, a lot of people don't know about.
Absolutely. That's awesome. So where can our listeners learn more about you and your work?
Yeah. So interviewconnections.com is our website. I'm pretty active on Instagram and LinkedIn. So you can connect with me on social, but interviewconnections.com is the best place to go to find me online.
And your podcast again is?
Rock the Podcast.
Awesome. 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 Okay. So the final question that I always close with is, what three pearls of wisdom can you share with our audience today?
So the number one pearl of wisdom, I would say, is to be obsessed with your numbers. And this is something that gets overlooked a lot in business. We're thinking a lot about marketing. We're thinking a lot about building our team. And honestly, getting into the really unsexy side of business and knowing your numbers is important. Like,
I so agree.
Yeah, knowing your profit and you know, profit and loss, and like just really knowing your numbers is very important. Another pearl of wisdom, I would say, is to delegate.
Yes.
Schedule out your time, because I definitely, you know, fall into the trap of being like, I'm so overwhelmed and like, I, you know, I have so much to do. And it's like getting real clear on what do I need to do and then scheduling it into my day. Always looking at my Google Calendar for the next day, the next week, and just making sure everything has a place on my calendar. So calendaring, and if you are super overwhelmed, figure out what you can delegate to other people.
Yes.
And then my third pearl of wisdom would be to work with a coach or a mentor who's going to push you beyond what you've already been doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So agree with that. Well, this has been so amazing. I love all the things that you're doing, and congratulations on building this business that is just taking off like fire right now. So congratulations, Jessica. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You have a good day.
Thanks.
I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to visit me at CammieGellner.com to find out how you can make heartfelt connections to mindful strategies to ignite an abundant flow of cash and clients into your business. I'd love to hear from you on any of my social media channels. I'm on both Facebook and Twitter. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.